We have any Marines in the congregation? No Marines? Yeah. Do you know their motto? Yeah. And they shorten it sometimes to say simplify. Do you know what it means? Always faithful. Yeah. Fidelity, faithfulness. God is always faithful. Amen? But we need to understand what that means. You know, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to really understand what it means and how it applies to our lives and how it applies to everything and always. You know, does God being always faithful mean that he will always do what we want? Well, we know that that's not the case. But what does it mean, you know, that he can be trusted, surely, but trusted for what? That's the kind of things that we want to really dig into today. Do you know, one of the things I want to start out with is to help us understand that we are to aspire to become more like God. And Jesus was the model of that, right? So that's what we aspire to. But we fall short. The problem comes, though, when we judge God's faithfulness according to human faithfulness. Because the truth is, sometimes people can be fickle, right? Fickle, kind of the opposite of faithfulness. There was one guy in college that he met a girl, and they, you know, got pretty close, and he finally gave her, now it wasn't an engagement ring, but it was a friendship ring, right? And so in giving her the friendship ring, he said, I will love you forever. And on the card that he gave her with the ring, it had those words, I will love you forever. And he put a P.S. at the bottom of it. And the P.S. said, but if we ever break up, I want my ring back. And what do you call that? Not exactly. There are two different messages, right? Yeah. Isn't it great that there are no P.S.s after God's faithfulness? Come on. He is faithful. What does it mean? Steadfast, dedicated, dependable, worthy of trust. I was saying this morning to Kim in prayer when she said, amen, so be it, that the Hebrew root for the word faithful actually is where they get the phrase amen from. You know, amen does mean so be it, but what it really means, if you were a Hebrew and you were hearing that phrase, it means God is faithful, so be it. You get the connection now. So we end a prayer, and we end a prayer, we say, God, we know you are faithful, so be it. Amen. Right? You get it? Come on, I thought that was pretty good. Huh. When we say God is faithful, we're saying that everything that he says and does is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He does not fail. He does not forget. He does not falter. When we say God is faithful, what we're saying is that he says what he means and he means what he says, right? He does everything he says he will do. And I want you to understand this morning that the concept of God's faithfulness is embedded in his character, and he himself and his character never changes. Never changes. It means that God can never cease to be faithful. I don't know about you, but you know, in the midst of a world that is so full of change, it is an incredible thing for me to know I have an unchanging God. Come on. I mean, one of the things that we must learn in our lives is how to cope with change, right? And change is not necessarily easy. And for some, it's harder than others, but change is inevitable. Change has happened so rapidly. Now, maybe our younger generation is getting more accustomed to that because of just how rapid changes happening in our world, in our country. Our economy can change just like that, right? It seemed like just, you know, yesterday I was getting gas for $1.99. What happened to that? Yeah. Governments change, and it's about to, right? Countries change. Cities change. We were down in Nashville visiting my daughter, and Nashville is changing. It's growing so rapidly that they can't even keep up with the change. There's like a new house being built every 20 minutes in Nashville right now. It's crazy. Just expanding. Churches change, right? We've changed over the years, from our early days at Old Bedford Village to here. Parenting changes. Oh, does it ever change, you know? It's just fun, you know, as soon as you kind of figure out how to do a good job changing diapers, then all of a sudden your kids are toddlers, right? And as soon as you figure out how to best, you know, train your toddlers, then all of a sudden they turn into teenagers. Ha! It happens fast. It really does, huh? I was just thinking about Father's Day next week, and I was reading this great story about a man, you know, just learning how to change diapers, and he was really getting good at it. So his wife took advantage of that, and they were at a picnic. So here's the story. It's kind of great. And he said at this picnic, they had real nice sliced ham for, you know, a ham slice for ham sandwiches. And he said, I went over and I sliced off a real thick slab of ham and put it in a really good bun. And he said, I love mustard on my ham sandwiches. So he squirted, you know, the yellow mustard on that. And just about the time when he was ready to chomp into it, his wife came along and said, hold the baby while I get my sandwich. You've heard that before, right, guys? So he has the sandwich in one hand and the baby in the other. And as he does, he realizes that mustard has dripped down to his elbow. And so, like all guys, he just simply, you know, kind of does one of these things and into his mouth. You know, that's the way you get mustard off, right? You lick it off, and all of a sudden he realizes it's not mustard. That had to be the worst experience of all. Now, his wife made it worse. When he's screaming and yelling, you know, and rubbing his tongue, his wife finds out. She's laughing, and then she looks at him and she says, now you know why they call it poop on. Change. Parenting changes. Oh, God. Our bodies change, right? Our hair begins to turn gray, or it turns loose and goes somewhere. Yeah, people change. People change, you know. We're supposed to. But the change that happens in a Christian life is supposed to be for the better, you know. We're supposed to engage in a process that begins with our salvation that lasts a lifetime, and that change is supposed to be us coming to be more and more like Christ. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. It's during that time that we are undergoing this change that we know God is at work in us and on us so He can work better through us. Right? He's at work in us and on us so He can work better through us. And during that time, we have to always remember that He is faithful and that we can count upon His faithfulness. There was an article from Max Lucado. He's a great author, right? A good writer. He says, now, when we think about God's faithfulness, think about this. God never pauses to eat or ask the angels to cover for Him while he naps. He never singles a time out or puts the prayer request for America on hold while He handles those from Africa. Doesn't have to. He says, catch God in a bad mood? Won't happen. Fear exhausting His amazing grace? I like this one. He says, a sardine has a better chance of swallowing the Atlantic Ocean. Think he's given up on you? Never. Ever worry that you'll go to him and find him in a non-receptive mood? Not God. God is faithful. Remains the same, never changing. He is the I am. It's in his character. He is who he is. He doesn't have to change. When you're perfect, you know. When you're perfect, change would mean that you're not perfect anymore, right? Yeah. I know some of you are saying, yeah, I'm perfect and you're perfect. And I thought I was made a mistake one time, but then I realized I just made a mistake that I thought I made a mistake. But it's true that God doesn't make mistakes and that he is faithful. I think sometimes we take God's faithfulness for granted, though. You know, because faithfulness means that he is rock steady, unchanging. And I think it's easy to take God for granted. I really do, especially when things are going well. When things are going well, it's so very easy to take God for granted. But my question for you this morning is, when things get tough, do you still hold on to the faith that God is faithful? You know, what happens when trials and troubles come? There was a news story that I remember, and on the news story, there was a woman that was sitting in a car, minding her own business, and suddenly, kind of out of the blue, as the cameras are on, this man comes, rips the door open, grabs her, and pulls her out of the car very roughly. Now, if you would have seen that without understanding what was going on, you'd have thought that the man was attacking her, and you'd have been responding accordingly. But when the camera pulled back, what you realized was the car was on fire and the woman didn't know it. And the man was rescuing the woman. Now, it only came through, though, when you saw a bigger picture, right? Now, here's the thing I want to say to you this morning. We need sometimes in our lives to step back and see a bigger picture in order to see God's faithfulness. And God will help us do that. The faithfulness of God is everything. You have to base your life upon it. Because when the oceans roar, when we're in the midst of troubles, the faithfulness of God is the only thing we have to hang on to. But when we have a problem with God's faithfulness, we begin to really just wander in our faith. And you know, that's a very tough place to be in, because it's only through your faith that you're able to have the peace that God wants you to in the midst of storms. I want to tell you that God has a high purpose for all of our lives. And that's what we've been talking about as we've been looking at the book of Acts. That God has a plan and a purpose for every single person. And when he's calling together the church, the real church, the big C church, he says that every member is important, significant. Everyone has a contribution to make. Everyone is called by God to contribute their own uniqueness to make the body of Christ work correctly. In the book of Acts, though, we find something else. That in order for God to accomplish his purposes, his highest purpose for each individual Christian is not that we become comfortable and trouble-free. God's highest good is not that we become comfortable and trouble-free, even though sometimes we believe that it is, and sometimes we even wish that it would be, right? But his highest purpose is not that we become comfortable and trouble-free. What is it? I was just telling you. His highest purpose is that you really get to know him, trust him, allow him to work in you, make you more like Christ, and then you become the Christ to others, right? You become used by God to make a difference in this world. So in the book of Acts, you find out that God over and over again put people in places and situations that were anything but comfortable and trouble-free. Am I right? I was reading particularly in Acts chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and take a look at this one story in Acts chapter 5. And I think, Doug, I'll start in verse 40 and just read two verses this morning out of Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41. But I want to sum up for you, though, what's happening before we read this. For in this chapter, we're talking about Peter and John, who were brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, because they had healed a man. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, didn't like it too much. And so they ordered them that they would stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus and stop doing these miracles. And Peter and John said, you know, who are we going to obey? You or God? And so, knowing they couldn't do anything else, they beat them, and then they released them because they were afraid of the people, because the people saw the miracle that had been done. But here's the words that I want you to hear this morning in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41. Verse 40, it says, his speech persuaded them, as Gamaliel, who was saying, you know what, we better let these guys go, because if it's from God, we'll find ourselves kicking against God. So they beat him, they let him go, and then it says in verse 40, they called in the apostles, had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. They let them go. Verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing, now listen to this, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the capital N name. Now, that's got to take you back, right? That they were rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Now, come on this morning. Let's just be us. Let's just be real. The fact of the matter is, we've come a long way from them. In other words, here in America, we haven't faced persecution like they have in some other countries of the world. Let's be honest with ourselves. We've enjoyed a pretty good run here. We've enjoyed a time of freedom. We've enjoyed a time when, you know, there was no restrictions placed upon us in our worship. There was no restrictions placed upon us what we could say. And then in our lifetimes, we've seen a gradual change to that. To today, when they're beginning to really create laws or interpret them that make it difficult for Christians to share their faith. Right? That's the truth. And so we get upset about that, rightly so. Rightly so. But here's the thing. It's nothing new, really, for the world. It's just new for us. Amen? This kind of persecution has been going on since the days of Jesus, since Acts chapter 5. The key in all of this is to recognize God is still sovereign. And God still has a purpose that He's working on. And that He is faithful. And that if you are willing, He will be faithful to use you. You see, we have to keep our faith. And we have to demonstrate it even more during these troubled times. During these challenging times. And the only way we're going to do that is if we really press in and get close to God and really feel His heartbeat and really know Him so well that we know that He is going to be with us no matter what. Then we won't lose our cool, right? Then we won't lose our faith. So the key really is to deepen your relationship with God. It's the key to everything, to deepen your relationship with God. To get to know Him better means that you can trust Him more. And believe me, the time is coming when you are going to be called upon to be faithful and to trust God and to do what's right, even when it's not easy. Amen? Know that during these times, God is with us and He loves us, and His love never fails. Great is His faithfulness. You know, in a marriage, when one of the two partners come to the point of asking, you know, does my wife really love me, or does my husband really love me? Is he really committed to this marriage? Is she really committed to this marriage? When doubts begin to persist, the relationship suffers, doesn't it? It really does. And the same thing happens in our relationship with the Lord. God really wants us to enjoy triumph over trials. As we were singing this morning, man, did I really just feel God speaking that to me. You know, that He wants us to experience the triumph over trials, but the way you do that is to go through them. Triumph over trials. He offers us help. Do you remember the scripture? You don't have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. You probably can repeat it without me saying it, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you but that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but in the temptation, He'll provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, the word that gets translated temptation in that passage of Scripture can mean either trials or literal temptations to do what is wrong. It can mean either. So the Scripture really is saying that God promises to protect you from more than you can bear and provide a way of escape through every trial, every trouble, or every temptation. His faithfulness guarantees it. That even that phrase, the way of escape, you know, if you would dig into that word, it was like used of a narrow mountain pass through which a trapped army might escape an impossible situation. And sometimes we think that it's impossible, right? The things that we're going through. God has always provided an escape plan for those that are faithful to Him, right? That hold on to the trust. When we yield in to our fears or our temptations, it's because we have forgot His faithfulness, His provision. And we try to make our own way. The way of escape. Huh. Do you know, in Scripture, we study so that we can get to know God better. And it's a wonderful thing to look at all the times in Scripture that God has rescued people out of really hairy situations. There's so many that I could start preaching now and I wouldn't be done till next year to tell you all the times in your Bible when God has rescued people out of hairy, crazy, tough situations. But every single time, people were called upon by God to hold on to their faith, to recognize that He is faithful. 2 Thessalonians says, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Of all the times in our life that we go through troubles or temptations, you know, the hard thing is try to figure out, you know, what really is going on. I was with a patient this week, beginning of this week from hospice, and it actually was someone that knew someone that I had visited before. And so the family that I had visited before, such a strong Christian family. I mean, the husband and wife were rock solid. They They were incredible. I mean, I rarely see the kind of peace that was maintained through this person's illness, but it was because of his and his wife's great faith. It was incredible to go there and minister, and oh, we had such good times just talking about the Lord, and it was just a great experience. So this friend of hers, of the wife of the couple that I had been ministering to, is the one that said that she wanted to see me because her husband had just been diagnosed with cancer, and a bad one, a pancreatic cancer, and that's not a good one. And, you know, it's hard. And I have just a special place in my heart from my own experience of people that have to go through things like that. And I think it's why God is allowing me to be a hospice minister right now in this time of my life. And so I went there in respect, and I was encouraged knowing that this family knew the other family that was so strong in their faith. But what I found when I arrived in Everett that day was they were friends, but they couldn't have been more different than night and day. For this family, they really had gotten away. They kind of went to church when they were kids, but they got away from it. And it happens a lot these days, you know. Run across people that, you know, life comes at you hard, they say. And so once you get out of the routine, it's easy to stay out, you know. And the problem was is that everything was going great in their lives. And so for them, there was no compelling reason to be in fellowship or to be in church or to be really digging in to study and get to know God better. There was really no compelling reason, they thought, until this happened. The problem came and is still present in that now that the problem is there, they're reaching for, you know, something that can give them peace and comfort, right? And they're reaching for God and they're reaching for faith, but their challenge right now is they don't know Him well enough to be able to have trust. And it makes all the difference in the world. The other family, they had such a deep relationship with God. This family, they want to have peace. They want to know that God is going to see them through. But over and over again during the hour that I spent there, I just kept going back to square one because they couldn't. They all, you know what? You've heard this probably before. They kept just saying, but why is God doing this to me? How many have heard that kind of thing before? You know, I kept saying, it's not God. Not everything that happens in your life, God causes. Have you figured that out? There's a lot of stuff that happens in this world, believe me, that God is not causing. Now, is he aware of it? Yes, different story, right? But being aware is way different than causing. Amen? God knew this morning what color shirt I would put on, but that didn't mean that he forced me to put it on this morning. He knew because he knows everything. And some of you are saying, boy, he should have stopped you. But anyway, you know, the thing is that when you don't realize the difference between these two things, when you've come to hear maybe people saying to you, well, there must be a reason for it. How many have heard that before? Well, yeah, sometimes there's a reason for you. Some crazy man did something he shouldn't have done. You hear what I'm saying? Some guy's driving a front loader without lights on. Reason for it? Yeah, that's the reason for it. And you say, where was God? Well, God was there. He's aware. The bigger question is, why doesn't he stop everything like that? You know, that's the bigger question, isn't it? And what you find out when you step back and you see that bigger picture that I was talking about, what you find out is that God is working out a plan on this earth, and He isn't done yet. For Him to stop everything bad from happening would mean He would have to stop the earth. He would have to stop everybody's free will. Can you imagine, Jim, just right now, how many people are plotting terrible things? You hear about it in the news, but you only hear a little bit of what's being done. For God to stop all evil in the world, He'd have to take away the free will of everyone. He'd have to stop people from doing what they want to do. Now, I want to tell you now, before I get back to my notes, there will be a day when He does that. But that day will be the end. Can you say amen? And until then, God is faithfully working out this plan. God is faithfully working out this big picture plan. And you are a part of it. You are a part of it. And everything that happens in your life, even though God doesn't cause, He can use if you let Him. Whoa. Let me tell you, my favorite scripture, some of you that have been here long enough, you probably can know what I'm about to say, is found in the book of Romans chapter 8. And as we wrap up this morning, let me close with this message. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, it says these things. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brothers." You know what that scripture is saying? Number one, it is saying that not everything in your life that happens is good. But it is saying that if you are a Christian, if you qualify to hold on to this verse and claim its promise, it means that you love God and know that you are called according to His purpose. So this promise is not for a person who is not yet a Christian. This promise is a conditional promise, and many of God's promises are. They have conditions to them. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we fail to realize, like the Israelites, that God is always faithful. And He said, "If you do this, I will bless you." And if they did this, He blessed them. But He was also faithful when He told them, "If you don't do this and you follow this, then bad things are going to happen." And sure enough. But this promise that I'm talking about, that I want you to internalize and apply to every situation in your life, is this: that when you are a Christian, when you have given your life to Christ, when you have said to Him, "I need you," like my family in Everett, when you say to them, to God, "I need you. I need you in my life. I open the door for you to come in. I want you in my life. I know I need you. Even though I've been ignorant of it before, I know it now. And I know I need to be forgiven, but I know I can be because that's why Jesus came." When you say to God, "I want to live now in your will. I know that you're calling me to a purpose on this earth. My life is not futile. You have plans for me and they are good." When you call upon Him that way, and when you recognize then that you begin to love Him like He loves you, then this promise is for you. This promise that says, everything, all things, God will cause to work together for the good. And that good, my friends, is God's highest purpose for you, that you become like Christ. I want to close by telling you how great that would be. Can you imagine a world filled with Christ everywhere? Well, I want to tell you, God can imagine it. And that's exactly what His purpose is. To turn each one of us into Christ followers who are devoting our lives to becoming more like Him and all that it means to be more loving like Him, be more kind like Him, be more patient like Him, be more strong and powerful like Him, be more in love with God like Him. This is God's highest purpose, that we become all that He meant us to be. And our assurance is that He is faithful and that He does superintend over our lives. What I mean by that is that He watched, and anything that comes across His screen, if you will, that's going to happen in your life that He can't use for good, He will stop. He will stop. But if He doesn't, and He allows it into your life, if He allows it into your life, it means He can use it. And if you realize that, you can leave here today at peace, knowing that He only wants your best and highest good, and He knows what it is and how to bring it about. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty Father, great is Your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, throughout all generations, You are faithful. Lord, we can trust in You to always be there for us, to always want our best, and to always be there to help coach it out of us. We can trust You, God, that You have a good plan for us, and that if we choose to follow You, You will lead us into it. Lord, we can trust it that every good and perfect gift in our life comes from You, and give You thanks for it. And we can trust, God, our futures to You, our families to You, our health to You, our provision to You, and know that You are faithful. Lord, remind us of this morning, that as we leave, we know You go with us. You go before us. You come behind. Lord, we know You are good. Help us, Lord, to live out that faith. In Your faithfulness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.